It's good to see you this morning. It's been an interesting couple weeks. I did miss being here last Sunday. I praise God that God has given us a fine person to step in, and John and his spirit and joy. Yeah, please. Yeah, I'm all for that. You know, God gives us brethren and meets needs, and he always does, and he provides for us, even in a what some would say a very small group, that God is powerful in a small group. He didn't promise us in tons of numbers. In fact, I really think a lot of times in the tons of numbers, there's still just a small group that are the viable. They're just it's an intimate group of God's grace on people's life. Give me the unity of a small group over the numbers any day. I'll take that joy. I'll take the passion. I'll take the love for people that comes out of that. I wish that it'd be infective. I wish that it would infect people, that they would come in and see that, hey, there's great joy here and there's great inspiration. God's name is lifted and all the things are wonderful. Until God chooses to do that, we will continue on rejoicing and praising him for each other and how God is utilizing our lives. I had a great vacation in a lot of ways. God shut my body down, said that you're not working, didn't give me anything to do, and kind of made it really clear to me that I wasn't to do anything, because every time I got up, my hips started hurting. And so I was sitting there going, it's a pain to get old. It really is. I mean, I'm not even old. I can't even imagine it. But how many of you guys are vacationers? Do you love a vacation? Anybody want to go on a vacation? Anybody wants to get away, you know? Well, come on, it's all right. You have nothing to get away with, huh? Vacation is—it's a great time. It really is, isn't it? But if you really stop and think about it, what are we getting away from? What are we walking away from? We're walking away from our lives that have been given to us. They're our lives, you know. That's what we are called to do. God has just taken us, and you know, we're right here, and it's more fun if we could every once in a while just escape. You know, I think that's why we have sci-fi movies and stuff like that, so you can dream about other planets and other things. There's no reality to it, but, you know, it's a good escape time. You could watch 6 hours of Pride and Prejudice. I thought that's very unprejudiced. Okay, yeah. Praise God that I have a bedroom and I can shut the door. And hear women laughing like a bunch of schoolgirls. I mean, having the best time. I thought, isn't that great? They were just enjoying themselves all to death. You know, but you do that. You get to go on vacation, and it's a fun time. I remember as a kid that we took a few vacations. Our family was not affluent by any shades, but every once in a while we got to take a vacation. I think of three major vacations that I got to go to. We lived in Indiana at the time. We got to go up to Lake Erie. And that was a great time. They had a big amusement park, and we got to go have that. The one I really remember is Smoky Mountains. There's something about the mountains. And to get to go to Tennessee, to go into the Smoky Mountains is incredible. In fact, one day, Margaret, we're going to do that, because I really want to get back to that. It was incredible. I mean, it was life-altering. I was fifth or sixth grade, but it was something that I have held on to all of my life, that dream. And then, you know, outside of that, I got to come to Texas. When the Astrodome first opened, I got to come to see the great world wonder, the Astrodome, and it was great. That set my heart to come to Texas. It really did. It was one of those things that said, it'd be great in Texas. Then God opened the door, salvation came, Baylor University opened up, and I got to come. And I told Butch Rio, my best friend, I said, Butch, I know you're an All-American football player. You got every scholarship anywhere you want to. I have nothing. But if I get a chance to go to Baylor, I'm going, if they'll let me in the door. I said, man, I know I'm going to go. There are more girls there than I've ever seen in my life. Then I went home and got another one right from Indiana. Okay. So you have childhood things, you have things and vacations that are good, and then you think about the trips you get to do with kids. You know, think of your kids. Hey, you've taken kids on vacation, haven't you? you know, and think of the fun times that they've had. You know, all those great memories that, you know, I think just for one of them was going to the Grand Canyon, going out to see my brother in Arizona and Phoenix, and then we went on up to Flagstaff, on to the Grand Canyon, and it was a fantastic time. We really had a lot of fun. Most of the trips were built around Margaret taking kids and going, Jim staying home and working. You know, Indiana trips, going back to Indiana for them to be with family and stuff like that. Well, I stayed here and kept the fires burning and churches going and paying the bills more than anything. So, but we did it. And then, you know, you graduate after all that. You take grandkids and you go different things with grandkids now. But the ones that's the ultimate ones right now, it's when you get to go on vacation because it's a child's trip and they invite your parents. Now, that's really a graduation, you know. The children take you on a vacation. Now, that I've been waiting for that for a long time. And we really enjoyed Colorado. It was a very, very fun place to be. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. Evergreen, Colorado is gorgeous. We're at over 7,000 feet in the cabin, and we're looking out of the mountain that's 14,000 feet. And I mean perfectly pictured. If you've ever seen a picture of beautiful, majestic mountains, you could sit on that recliner out on the deck, and you look, and it's pictured, it's scoped in with pine tree, and right straight out is this gorgeous mountain. It really is one of those kind of things, a little heavenly sent deal that God kind of, and I feel close to God when I'm in a place like that. It's majestic. It's something that God has an opportunity to speak, and he spoke to me. I mean, I had quiet time. In fact, I read two books twice. Well, I know how I am. You don't get it the first time. In fact, I've read that second book three times now because it was that important to read. The information that was there is vital to who we are as Christians and how I should be as your pastor. And so I read and I reread and I marked and I, you know, highlighted this and talked about that. And Terrence and I got to talk, like he said, about Scripture. We talked about God's movement, talked about our church, talked about things that God was doing in our lives. It was great to be with Heather. There were days that she wasn't the best. But, you know, we still had a great fellowship, and we enjoyed it. Of course, Margaret, Mother, and I, we really enjoyed it. It was a wonderful time. Then visiting with people out there, that was a great time also. It's almost as if the world was passing away. You're in a different place. You know, you don't, I really didn't care what y'all were doing. Okay? Hope y'all were fine. I prayed for you, you know, thought everything was great, but I was kind of going, man, I'm being really, I want my time. And I did. But the time that I had was an opportunity to commune with God, to spend time refocusing the priorities of my life. And in a very short period, the time passed away. I mean, that week was gone. I get in on a Monday, and the next thing I know, it's Sunday, and tomorrow morning, I'm flying back to Waco, Texas, to the grind. And I realized about what life was really about when it was ready to go home, because the plane was late to pick me up in Denver, which made me late into DFW, which made me miss my flight out of DFW, which made me sit in DFW for 33 hours, and three gate changes. Now, I love that. Thank you, Heather. I know you're not here, but she put it on my phone every time a gate change that came up on my phone. If it wouldn't have been, I'd still been sitting at that stupid gate waiting on a blast of and it would have left me on the other side of the world, but it's just what it is. So that's vacations. That's a time away. It's a time that God gives. And I think we can appreciate that. I hope you can. I hope that you've had those kind of opportunities in your life just to step away from what we call reality, because it is. It's what God has given us. You know, God promised us things, and he reveals things, and I just happen to see it in the mountains. And it's just like what he gave us in the Scripture. We're going to be in the Gospel of Mark today in the 9th chapter in a little bit. But God revealed things on the mountaintops, not only to Christ, but to the disciples. And all of us have been on that mount at times. If you know Jesus Christ, if he's your personal Savior today, you know that there's been a time in your life that you had really, you had risen up and you were on the mountaintop. You know that? You felt that position that God had raised you up and you got up here and you were right there at the Mount of Transfiguration the whole time, right? I felt that way? I felt that way. I surely can't be just me. You know, because there are times in life that God says, I'm going to take you to that mount. I want to lift you up to that mount. And why would he do that? Because he loves us. Now, it's in order to do something for us that I don't know if we recognize enough. And the Gospel of Mark in the 9th chapter, it begins at the first verse and it talks about Jesus and about his labor. But in the second verse, it talks about how that the Mount of Transfiguration, as we know it, that's the name of it. That's the thing that we say about it. So I want to begin there. We'll go verse number 1 and we'll start right there. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, that there shall be some of them that stand here, which shall not taste of death, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. Some people forget, and they get to that point, so they shall not taste of death. I'm going to go, no, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. It's going to happen, okay? But until they've seen the power, and the power was already there. The kingdom of God was already there with power in Jesus. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh him, Peter, James, and John, and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. You know, I've always thought of Peter, James, and John as that special group, you know, that were probably the more dynamic, the more leadership quality and all that stuff. But then I got thinking about it. When my dad used to take us places, there were three of us boys that, not my brother. My brother was always a good kid. I was the fun one. My friends. But he kept all three of us together. Everywhere he went, we went with him. You know why? Because we are always getting in trouble. I'm kind of thinking Peter, James, and John may not have been that special class. Well, maybe they were the special class. You know, the kind that Jesus had to keep real tight under, you know, with him all the time, because he probably never knew what they might pull. If you've ever thought about fishermen, about their lives, I mean, maybe they pulled stunts. Maybe that's what they did. And so God said, you just kind of stay with me. You know, these other guys can handle, you know, all the rest of them are pretty well settled down, you know, but we'll just keep you three with me. So he takes them to that mount, and they're up on the mount, and you don't know where it is. I don't know where it is. It does not say in the scripture which one. It could have been Hebron. It could have been a lot of places. I know this, if it was like Mount Evans, it would have been glorious. But I know that it was a high place. That he was in probably in the mountains of Galilee somewhere. It says, and his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can whiten them. And there appeared unto them Elias and Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And of course, then Peter breaks in like you and I probably would. You haven't got any better sense. You opened your mouth, you should have kept it shut. And you said, we need to build tabernacles, we need to do this. And all of a sudden, they hear this voice out of heaven. This is my beloved son. In other words, shut your mouth and just listen. You know, there are times in life that we ought to be like that. There are times that we have privileged to get to go to the mount. We've been up there, and it's what I call a sphere of exaltation, a place that God is exalted, and we get to see that. But in the time that we've been given to that, that's not where we can stay. I love the mountains. I got to go, and it was really a lot of fun. But you and I, we're not built for the mountains. We're just not. We're not built for the waking dawns of every day to see the beautiful flowers. We're not made for the ethereal things of life. We're not, because all of those are moments of inspiration. That's God rewarding us with our faith in our lives and lifting us up and said, this is the inspiration I'm giving. I'm giving you a little glimpse of what I've got for you. I've got something even greater than this, but I'm giving you a glimpse of that. But we're not made to stay there. You and I were built for the valley. That's where we're built. Oh, it's fun to go on vacation. But where you are right now, today, praise God, I hope that's exactly where God has you. Because this is what we were built for. We were built for the ordinary. I mean, what we call the ordinary. We were built for the things that God wants to do to prove our faith of what I saw up there, I get to live out down here. I get to live it out in the way that God wants me. It's only my selfishness, spiritually speaking, selfishness, that I want to stay up there on the mount. I'd like to be like Peter, James, and John. I'm sure I would have been one of those boys along with him, because he wouldn't want me to get anywhere near anybody else. But he wanted to show them. He said, look, I gave you this. I gave you the vision of my power. Jesus was totally translated. It wasn't just about his clothes being whiter than that. He himself was translated. Metamorphosis, if you look in the Greek, it's exactly what we know in the English right there. But you and I, we get to go see how powerful God is. We've been able to see the glory of God. We recognize that he is wondrous and he is everything that we ever dreamed about. That's who Jesus is. And you may think, well, if I could just stay up on the mountains, I could be like an angel. I could talk like an angel. I could act like an angel. I could do. You don't get to stay on the mountain. You're not an angel. Something about those horns holding that deal up. I don't know how that works. But we all need a mountaintop experience. We all need to see that moment of exaltation, that exceptional time that comes in life, and it comes to anyone that longs to be with Christ. He will give that to you. And it's a fantastic time. But can I tell you this? If you didn't recognize how great that time was, it would be worthless if you don't live it out down here. What good is it to let God show you his wondrous glory and then we don't share with anybody? What good is that? You know, I love the excitement this morning. I loved it back there, and I'm seeing them. I'm sorry I can't jump today. My hip hurts. But, you know, we got the hand. You know, I love that. It was wonderful. We had foundational songs of the church that ignite the spirit just as much as the praise songs. But those praise songs pushed it right over the top for me. Aren't you glad that God still loves us and does what he does? My friends, the mountain is not a place to teach. That's not the purpose of the mountain. The mountain was there to show us what we're to do here. It wasn't for me to get lost up there, as much as I enjoy the time. But it's something, what am I going to do? The mount is a place to build your character. You're comparing yourself as those three men did with Jesus standing here and Moses and Elijah. You look at them and you go, who am I? You see how far we need to go? You realize who you need to be? See, that's the exaltation part of Christ. That's what he gives us. As you know, I love to play golf. If you didn't know that, I do. I do that. But I know in the game of golf that every time you do something exceptional, and every once in a while it happens, we call it a birdie, okay? On a hole, you get one under, okay? If you don't know what I'm talking about, I'll pray for you, okay? But right after that, I promise you, the next hole, I'm going to get a bogey. You know, I'm going to be one over on the next one. So you get all pumped up and everything's great and glam. You're the greatest that ever was. And all of a sudden, down you go. The sphere of exaltation that God gives us is immediately followed by a sphere of humiliation. And it's not because God's pushing us down. It's just the reality. I'm not what I should be. I'm not everything that God wants me to be. It's the reality check. It's the flight from Denver to Waco. It's all of those kind of things. We come back to life that's realistic. It's not poetic. It's not beautiful. It's not any of those things. It's Robinson, Texas. It's everyday grind. It's all the things that we know is right here. It is life. But it's life how you look at it. Now, if you've forgotten everything that you found in the mountains on vacation time, then life is very boring. Life has no appeal, has nothing. But you cannot see the glory of God on the mountains and not bring it to the valley. You have to bring it to the valley. You have to let somebody see what you saw. You know, people are saying, I can't believe you didn't invite us to go. Believe it. I'm not inviting you. I mean, Terrence might, he might want to do that. But it would be wrong if I didn't share it. It would be wrong if God illuminated my heart somewhere and I didn't share it. It would be wrong to say, God, you did this here. And, I'm thinking of people right now that God does great things in their lives and they come back and they give a testimony or they preach or they do things. And we're so excited because that's what God did in them. And we get to see his glory. You know why they shared that? It's because they know that we are right here living in reality, in a sphere of life that is just reality, and it's humiliation a lot. Why would it be humiliation? Because I'm not who I should be. I'm not who I could be. I'm not walking in the same space that I always could be. Jesus wants us to be living a life that's not drab and common. We may think that that's all that we've got, but didn't you learn anything on the mountain? Did you not learn anything what you wanted to do? Did you not learn that he is all power, he's all glory, he is everything, and that he lives within you? That's what he's teaching us when we get the privilege to go to the mountain. When we get to see it the way he sees it. So what good is a mountain experience if you don't live it down here? It does us no good to get to go. Save the airfare. Don't drive, because I'm not going to drive anyway, but one day we're going to meet him. And he's going to say to us, I gave you all of these things to bring glory to me. What did you do with it? I showed you things that I don't show everybody. I showed it to you. For what purpose? That you would show it to somebody else. That's what we've been given. And it's something that we're given all the time. So that brings the last part. What is my ministry? We're here. You all are sitting in the sphere of this ministry. It's not just my ministry by any shades. It's your ministry. It's the ministry that God has given to every one of us as he exalted us and we got to see the beauty of what he was, and then we came down and the humiliation that came seeing that we're not like that. We're here. He's up there. He's grand. He's glorious. But the reality is that he lives within us. And he says, now I want you to take that. I want you to take it over here. To do what? To minister, not me, him. To take to the world the very things that we have learned. The end of that ninth chapter is this part about the little boy that could not be cured. You know, the disciples tried to cast the demon out and it didn't work. And the question came in the 28th verse, why could we not cast him out? It was because I lost the vision of how great and powerful you were here. All I saw was from this place right here, and it wasn't that big. It wasn't that powerful. But I took you over, and I put you over here into this ministry, that this ministry was more than capable of keeping their eyes on that over there to make this over here happen. Some things only come through prayer and fasting. Something only come by putting our hearts and our minds upon Christ and really, really seeking him. I know that you want to serve God. I understand that. I want to serve God. But there are times in life, if you don't prepare your heart, we really slander God because we show the world that we're not capable. We're saying that God's not capable of meeting that need. And God is more than capable. We're the weak link, not him. We need to prepare our hearts and our lives that what we got to see, that mountaintop living, that we carry it down and people get to see the beauty of that even in the time we have in this world right here. When the Apostle Paul referred to things, he said, I can do some things in Christ's name, every once in a while I get lucky and I get pull off something. What did he say? I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. What was he saying? What were those all things? They're the things that I just are talking about, things that basically we would say are humiliation. It's not the exalted things. You know, every once in a while you get in the limelight. Every once in a while you get to be the big shot. Every once in a while the stars are out there and you're one of the stars. But if you truly want to know what God has prepared every one of us for, is this time to take what we saw there, live it out in a ministry that nobody over there has given us credit for. That's the power of God. That's the glory of Jesus. You can tell me, oh, I was born a star. Great. I came to Baylor with a star. I mean, an incredible star. Well, I'm just a natural. Yes, you are, in more ways than one. I was a natural too. Well, I'm a leader. If you're a leader, learn to follow. I've had to do that. I had to learn to follow if I ever wanted to be a leader. You and I have the most important ministry in the world. It's been given to all of us. It's not just given to me, it's given to everybody. It's the ground, the pavement of the ministry of Jesus Christ. It's right down here. It's a ministry of unnoticed work. It's that special word that you spoke to that person when they had no hope. It's the time that you looked at that mom and she's got a baby on her lap and a couple little ones running around here. The next thing you know, that little one takes that bottle and gives it a chunk, and you know, and you pick it up and you hand it back to her and you say, what a beautiful child. That little girl's the most gorgeous little girl I've seen in a long time. Little things that open the door to tell them about the love of Christ. That's our ministry. That's where we've been. My friends, that's mountaintop living. That really is. And I know how do I know how great it was? Because I know how drab this world can be. And how do I compare it? How drab this is and how great that is. That's how I know what I have the privilege to doing every once in a while is so fantastic. You might not have got to go to the mountains, but the mountain God is looking for is the mountain that he will place in our lives every single day. And it's not one that you're, I can't climb it. It's the one that I will show you the greatness. I'll fly you with wings as eagles. I'll take you 14,000 feet, boom, just like that. You'll love it. It'll be great. You'll see all over the world. It's fantastic. Everything is fine. But I'm doing it so that the power lives out in the saint right now. Down where we're living, right here. I want to bring you joy today. The power is yours. I'm going to encourage you. You may not recognize it, but God is doing the work in your life right now. He's using you every day, everywhere you go. God is using us. Let's be used to the fullness of his grace. Let's be used to the fullness of his power. Don't cut God off. Don't cut him off and say, well, I can't do that. You're right, you can't, but he can. Stretch yourself. Say the word that needs to be said. Don't be afraid. Don't hide. My neighbor needs something. Okay, go meet the need. Well, I don't know if I can. You don't know unless you ask. Share it. Tell them of the love of Christ, how mountainous it is in your life. Oh, I pray it's mountainous today. I pray that your spirit is so full like it's walking on top of that mountain, and that you brought that mountain with you right down here and you're pushing it right out to everybody else. If it's not, I can tell you how to get it. God has it for every one of us. Let's pray.